I'll march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
So, hi, we are the cast, more or less, of Radio Free Nintendo.
Hello.
Or how it exists this weekend at PAX East. And, we're testing out Carl's brand new condenser microphone thing. He thinks will let us podcast from across the room.
I'm looking at the levels, and they're picking you up really clearly, so.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Hooray.
So,
totally worth all that money I spent. Like,
dude, I hope so.
I spent a paycheck on that.
Damn. Dang.
On that, plus some of the other shit I got, like, it was a paycheck.
Dude.
Dang.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so let me give you the context. This is our first hotel cast, not a drunk cast, because apparently you can't buy liquor in Boston after 11 p.m.
Yeah,
so,
there's a pro tip for PAX East 2000.
Yeah, there you go. Good to know.
This is the prohibition
cast. I wish they'd given us, like, a flyer when we landed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, really the most important thing.
So,
well, I knew from writing in that, like, that you couldn't get a cab after 1:30, that the subways were closed after 1.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous.
That's weird.
It's a city. Like,
that's
this is
really
Boston
weird.
Is a huge city, or not
that's
a huge
the city,
city
that
but like,
sleeps at 1 o'clock.
Sam Adams is here. Like, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I'm
seriously.
Boston less and less every day.
I don't know.
You've been here for a day, Lauren.
I like to find except
I was really afraid I was going to fall in love with Boston, and it's just not going to work out that way.
Oh. Well, anyway.
It's a nice place. It's nice.
Yeah, anyway, so we'll be drunk tomorrow, I promise.
Yeah.
We'll make something happen.
For tonight, though, it's... Well, we're all, I mean,
it's
I was,
one of the
I,
tired
I was gonna say we're like stone cold sober, like ready to talk, but we're all pretty tired.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty dead.
I think we all had like a drink at dinner, but
yeah.
So yeah, it's the end of the first day of PAX. It's Friday night. We did our live panel today, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was really
Woo!
Fun.
It was really fun. We didn't have a huge crowd, but we had
at least 40 people there.
Yeah, we had 40-ish people there through most of it. People came in and out because we were kind of staggered between a couple of other big. Panel things, so yeah, people came in and out, but I thought it was a blast. I had a lot of fun. It
yeah.
went a lot smoother than I even expected. Really.
Totally, like a big shout out to go out to the enforcers.
Yeah,
they were really cool.
We were there.
Yeah.
We got there an hour and a half early.
Yeah,
because we just kind of wanted to scope out the room. We were the first panel in that room today, and so we just wanted to, you know, get used to the space and see the room and check out all the audio and the recording equipment and. Get used to sitting at the table at the front of this giant room and
yeah, this raised platform. It was pretty intimidating.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
I was intimidating at first.
When
yeah.
I think it was Mike and I that walked in and like I was just immediately like, oh, this is way more professional than I was expecting.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
we walked in, it's like a bunch of chairs, like 250 chairs,
mm-hmm.
right?
And you know we're on this like raised platform with like we didn't actually get them because they didn't give it to us, but. We were supposed to have, like, these cards that had our names on them.
Yeah, like placards.
I got two because, you know, I figured for posterity. But,
I got none.
And Mike got none. I think it was clearly an error. I'm not thinking it wasn't.
It's in the program. In the program, there were two Carls that were going
to
be in the
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, you know, I try to get enough of me to share around, but
no,
I'm only one man.
There was a little bit of madness with that because... Carl was originally on the panel, and then he told me he wouldn't be able to come.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week later, he said, oh, no,
three
I am going to be able to come.
3 days later.
Sure. So there was some confusion with the
uh-huh.
PAX people and
yeah.
me trying to keep updating our roster.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, but the panel went really well. I was super happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it
was less weird than I expected.
Yeah, it was
absolutely.
Pretty fun.
Like, I think, you know, I think at the beginning we had a little bit of just, like, oh, we have to make this seem really important. So I think we were all just very, very serious.
Yeah, we loosened up.
But, I mean, by the time the questions were happening, like, I think we were just, like, on a really good roll.
Yeah, I wish we could have done another hour.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah,
well,
really.
It was all a little rushed. Yeah. I had a schedule. I had my watch out. Mm-hmm. I was keeping an eye on the time because we really had just an hour. Yeah. So we're not used to working like that.
Yeah, I figured it would be rushed though. Yeah.
As someone in the audience, I definitely can say like you guys started off just a little slow, but then picked up right away.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially during the Q&A.
Q&A was the best part. I wish.
That's always the best part of any kind of panel, though, because there's more interaction.
Yeah. Next time we do it, I would like to do something like 20 minutes of feature, 40 minutes of Q&A.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we only did the feature for 20, 25 minutes anyway. Yeah. I wanted half the show to be Q&A, which it was. Right. Easily half of it was. So I was pretty happy with the balance.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do some kind of feature thing up front to kind of give people an introduction to the way you talk about this stuff. And, you know, not everybody there had heard us before, so I didn't want to jump into it and be like, ask me anything about Nintendo.
You don't know me, but ask me anything.
Right, they don't have context for that. So I wanted to kind of give people an idea of, like, how we talk about things and, you know, what's the tone of the show. And you had some great questions.
Yeah, people brought their A-game.
Yeah,
questions
were fantastic.
I was really surprised. I think there was only one that it wasn't even that it was bad. I just couldn't hear him. He was like way, way in the back.
Yeah.
Was that the guy who went on for like a minute and a half? Or?
No. There was one guy though who was. We went on along, but hey, whatever. Like,
yeah, I remember the guy. You mean the guy who I couldn't understand a thing he said either.
Yeah, it was just the microphone wasn't picking him up too well.
I hope. I mean, I don't know. Part of the good thing about this microphone is that I've recorded. This is the third podcast I've recorded on this microphone today.
Oh, we'll get to that.
I haven't exported anything to my computer yet. I'm interested to see how it turned out.
So it could be an unmitigated disaster.
So I don't want to have a whole other podcast talking about the panel podcast that we did.
Yeah.
Just to move on from that, because you know everyone hearing this will hopefully hear the panel as well. So you'll know what we did there. But I did want to give a few impressions just about the process and just how it felt being up there, because we didn't want to get too meta while it was ongoing.
Totally.
Yeah.
But after that was over, we walked around PAX for a little while and did various things. Went through the exhibit hall. I got lost a couple times.
I had to go get you.
Yeah.
It's not a very complicated hall, John.
There's nothing there.
It's just crowded.
It's very, very crowded.
And I was totally overwhelmed after the panel. My head was just a mess.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I was totally out of it for a while because I had so much adrenaline.
Yeah, and I remember you were having some allergies too.
My allergies have been bothering me a little today, so... but anyway, we walked around and, you know, going through the exhibit hall, I have to say, like, the first couple hours that we actually spent at PAX after the panel, I was like, this kind of sucks, you know? Like, it's like a lame
E3. Yeah, well, what happened is, because the panel started at 2 o'clock and because I wasn't a part, or 2:30, the exhibit hall opened at 2,
right.
And since I wasn't a part of the panel, I was trying to book it to see what Nintendo had, because, you know, Super Mario Galaxy 2 is supposed to come out in May, Sin and Punishment 2, maybe it'll be Pimp and Monster Hunter Tri, which I would avoid, like, the plague anyway, because I'm totally unsold on that game.
Can I just describe what the scene was at the Nintendo quote-unquote booth?
Well, let's
preface it.
I make this freaking beeline, waiting in line to get into the expo hall with everybody, go to the Nintendo booth, stare at it, and all it is DS.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Okay, it's like four DS games.
Yeah.
All right, you walk in and you're like, oh, okay, this must be the back half of their whole thing. That's all there is.
Lauren thought there was another part of the booth.
Hold on. I went to the, where I knew on the map the booth was, and I went there and I looked at it, I said, this isn't it. And I turned around, I walked around a little more, and then I took out the map, and I was like, that was it.
Yeah.
It was, like, smaller than booths at E3 for, like, joystick manufacturers.
Yeah, it's like,
seriously.
It's like something you see in Kenshin Hall.
It was definitely Kenshin Hall booth.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the first couple hours, but I think it got a lot better after we got
out. I think, really, once we realized that, I guess... PAX is not in the expo hall. PAX is everywhere else but the expo hall.
Yeah, PAX is where you make... I think the key to having fun at PAX is to make your own fun.
Yes.
Yeah, like you like bring things with
and
you.
Just hang out.
Yeah.
And so many ways to do it, too.
Yeah.
With the checkout systems, with the... What is it, the restaurant rooms? I don't even know what
they're called. Yeah, they have the free play rooms where Wii, 360, PS3, any game you'd want to play.
Yeah.
Like, Neil, Mike, and I played some Boom Blocks.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really good.
Linda, I mean, you have to wait for a while.
To limited effects.
Yeah, that was terrible. Boom Blocks, that was horrible.
I was geared up for this big throw.
It was a Wii remote. It was a sensor bar.
It's getting a little late. I don't want to piss off the neighbors.
Yeah,
it's 7 midnight now.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad.
Let's try to... I don't want... to get knocks on the door. And,
oh yeah, I know you.
We have a lot of people in here, so let's talk at normal volume.
Sure.
But
the mic volume's way up. It's gonna pick us up regardless.
Right. But yeah, that free play room. Well, that was the first free play room.
That was all the modern stuff, and then we found the retro free play room.
Oh, and that was where the shit was at.
It was kind of, it seemed like it was like the hidden gem of the entire place because there weren't really that many people there.
Mm-hmm. No.
But like we were playing Vectrex, we played what was it, 9 or 10 player Bomberman on Saturn. Yeah.
I think Johnny like just acquired a love for vector graphics.
Well, I actually had already like. I've always been interested in them, but I've never really had access to them because it was mainly an arcade thing. You know, I never had good arcades or anything. So I've always been interested in it, but like Xbox Live Game Room came out this week, and I messed around with that, and most of the games are terrible. But there are a couple vector-based games. There's Tempest, and there's one called Gravatar.
Mm-hmm.
And Gravatar is actually really impressive because it's vectors. It's very easy to zoom in and out.
Right.
On it, and which is not something you would expect to see, especially in an old arcade game like that. It's a very striking effect when the entire play field zooms in.
Mm-hmm.
That's and it's very smooth too. It's like, whoa, what the hell? I was like, this is really cool. Like, it made me realize that there are actually things you can do with vector graphics you can't really do with raster stuff. Like it just looks just a different style that you can do.
Yep.
And so I was really interested in it. And then we walked in, and they had a Vectrex in that retro console room. And, I mean, how many times are you ever going to see a working Vectrex? I was like...
Because the whole thing is that it's basically like a TV monitor is the console.
Right, it has a built-in
screen. It's not like you hook it up to any old TV, like you have to have the full Vectrex.
It's very rare to find one that still works. I mean, Chris Kohler was on our show a few months ago saying he owns like 3 broken Vectrexes. It's very hard to find a working model, and this one was working great.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a
Star Trek game was sweet.
Yeah,
Star Trek 2. It was the Wrath of Khan, I guess.
That's awesome. I was fucking good at that.
I played some like Frogger vector graphics Frogger, which was
like
totally
it was homebrew,
but really good actually. Yeah.
Although the only problem is you couldn't tell the difference between the pavement and the water.
Because it's all monochrome.
White lines
on a black screen.
Yeah. It has some like sick animations though, where like Frogger turns into a graveyard or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
and even the intro, it was just like using the vector graphics. They spelled out like words in like cursive.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And it would just morph into the next part or the next word that they were doing.
I was thrilled that I get to play a Vectrex.
I'll probably go back to that.
That was such a highlight of the day.
That racing game was cool too.
Was it Pole Position?
But that wasn't actually the only vector-based game we played tonight, was it?
No. Then right next door to that is the retro arcade room free play. And that's cool because you go in, it's really dark.
Yeah, it's John's childhood.
It's real seedy.
It was like the same music, too.
34 years ago.
All 80s music. They had like there was like a crowd around Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. They had all these weird games, and I guess it's supported by like a arcade museum. AMAC or something like that. But there were several interesting games in there. I think my favorite was, what was it called, Quantum? Yeah, that's another vector-based game that was very interesting because you had a trackball and you're drawing lines on the screen, so there's all these like enemies flying across the screen. You're basically controlling a cursor. Mm-hmm. And you use the trackball to draw lines, and the goal is to make a loop around the enemies, and when you do that, you defeat the enemy. But because you're using a trackball, it's not easy to control. It's very tricky to draw a circle with a trackball.
There's an iPhone game I was playing called Spirit that's very similar.
Okay. But it's all done with vector graphics, so all the lines are very smooth.
Yeah.
It's very colorful, too. Well, the Vectrex is all black and white. This was very colorful and like psychedelic, kind of, and really cool. I've never seen that game. I've never heard of it.
No, I never heard of it either.
There were a lot of rarities in there.
Yeah, and that's a kind of game that really, especially back then, would only work with vector graphics, because otherwise it's just going to look crappy.
Yeah, right? That's terrible.
But it did play. I think, were you saying it plays kind of like Jazz Ball, or is that you, James?
Yeah, I think it was.
And it did have kind of a Jazz Ball kind of a feel, or kicks, or quicks, or something like that.
No, it was a cool game. Like, very difficult to get a hold of, like, using the trackball at first, but...
Well, it doesn't have too much control.
Like, yeah, you had
perfect control.
Yeah, but it was like too sensitive.
Yeah.
So like if you make like a if you quickly jerk your hand over, like it's gonna make a huge line. It's hard to like track back over.
Yeah.
I love games. It was definitely. I mean, although there was another game that you guys were, I don't remember the name of it, but I think it was something that you guys had already played like years before. It was
Sinistar?
Yeah, Sinistar.
Sinistar is awesome.
Yeah, down there. I love that game.
Yeah,
that was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never got to play Joust 2.
No, we watched someone play it a little bit.
Yeah, people were hogging it. It's back in the corner, so you get people just camping on it.
Yeah.
Because they think nobody cares.
I actually played some pretty sick pinball games.
Oh, yeah?
There was I want to play some of those pinball games.
Yeah, I want to go back to the retro free play area.
Yeah, but
yeah, definitely.
And then there were some just kind of junky games like that full motion video game like
Us versus Them.
Like it's sort of like I guess it's kind of
vertical
like,
shmup.
Yeah,
but it's over FMV backgrounds.
Yeah,
it's really weird. The controls are terrible.
And it has like what's it called, those like short cinematics, like full motion video cinematics.
Oh yeah.
Just really terrible.
Yeah, it looked like something straight off the 3DO.
So oh, totally.
It looked like a high quality 3DO game if you can handle that.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have easily been a 3DO game.
Yeah, it's like Sewer Shark, except high-quality Sewer Shark.
the arcade room was terrible. Really fun just because it was so thematic.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there's all these, like, singular experiences in there. It had an original Pong arcade machine. It wasn't a sit-down, it was a stand-up version.
But yeah.
I think they had, an original Frogger, too. It looked like an original version.
They had, like, three versions of Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had, like, the Buck Rogers
game. Junior Pac-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
All impeccable shape, too.
Yeah,
it was from the museum, so everything was, like,
yeah,
pristine.
Yeah,
and
I know
it's nice when you go into retro arcade and everything works.
Yeah, yeah. I want to give a shout out to Digital Press, mm-hmm. which is actually a store in northern New Jersey, which is where I'm from. And they supplied a lot of I think all the retro game crap there. They also have a booth there too. But that's a fantastic store. And if anyone's ever in the area, I highly recommend stopping by Digital Press. It's in Clifton, New Jersey.
We're gonna cut of that, right?
Yeah.
So, I love all the free play rooms because the arcade ones kind of fix what's there. You know, they're all just giant machines, pinball and stuff. But like in the retro console and the modern console rooms, it's like a library system. You just go check out what you want to play.
Yeah, right.
And especially in the big modern console room, that's a big place. Mm-hmm. You just go in there and. You look around, it's like just an amazing sampling of what people are interested in trying out. There's a crowd around somebody playing Heavy Rain. There are people playing Melee and Brawl separately.
Yeah.
Yep.
We saw like God of War 1 and God of War 3.
Yeah.
We had Boom Blocks. People were playing like...
Oh, was that guy playing Forza on three monitors?
Oh my God.
It's basically like, he's there, like he's got the driving wheel, and he's got... an HDTV in front of him, and then two HDTVs to the side of him, like,
all
kind
the
of
same
at
songs,
an angle,
yeah.
So it's like you're inside the car. And I think it was Johnny who was like, it seems like it's a little off-center, and then you quickly realize, oh, it's because it's only on the part of the car that you're in.
Right, so he's actually in the left-hand, he's in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And so you can see more on the left side, outside of the car, whereas almost the entire right monitor is the right side of the cockpit.
Yeah, so you see like the side view mirror, and then like all the way over to the right is the rear view mirror.
Yeah, right. I got video. I'll put the video up.
It's crazy. It takes three TVs and three Xbox 360s to run it. They're all networked together.
It's amazing.
It's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that the developers throw in just because like they can. Like,
well, I think they throw it in because they can show it off to the media at press events.
Yeah.
And it's like really. Really showy, but like no one will ever use it
except for PAX.
PAX, what PAX is for?
PAX has a setup of 8 steel battalions in one room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's where I was going next.
Yeah.
PAX is like, I was thinking, like, you know, the console room is like, it's all, none of these games are rare.
Yeah,
it's like if you want to go in and just like sample something that. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't get a chance to play, you know?
It's just such a cool thing, though. Like,
it's like Gamefly.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I do think it was odd that people were trying to play Heavy Rain with all that noise around them.
Yeah.
It was
weird. Yeah.
Well, it could just be people
wanted
to try
it. I saw someone
playing
Dante's Inferno. It's like, dude, if that's what you want to play.
It was like a... with like a 12-year-old kid and his dad were walking around like the kid was halfway holding his Dante of Dante's Inferno.
No. Mike and I were in line and some little kid was getting the Tony Hawk ride, I think.
Yeah. Someone was playing Tony Hawk Ride in that crowded room.
Yeah. And Mike was like, wow, what a dumb fucking idea. And
you waited that long?
Like, no, but, like...
to pick any game?
They were right behind them.
I wasn't paying attention.
And then the guy turned around and was like, that's why I'm trying it, because I don't want to buy it.
You're like, hey, fair enough. I mean, that's the whole idea, right? But but the cool thing was, I mean, these were not rare games. Yeah. They were just kind of common stuff that you just might not have access to for whatever reason.
Mm.
But then, if you had asked me, like, what if PAX had a room where you could play a game that you will never get to play otherwise, you know? And I would, what game would that be? I'd probably be like Steel Battalion. You know, game with a $200 gigantic controller with two joysticks and like metal pedals down on the floor.
It's ridiculous.
It has 30 buttons that all light up and they all do different things. You could push all the buttons.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've never even seen one of these in the wild. They had a room with 8 of them. Was it 10 of them?
I think it was 10. It's so funny because it's like somebody was trying to build an arcade cabinet and they just stopped after they bought the controls. That's what it's like.
It looked crazy. Doesn't it take like 10 minutes just to learn how to move?
Pretty much. Yeah. That game is incredibly complicated. Super hardcore. I mean, basically the game matches the controller. It's that complicated. It's that ridiculous.
Yeah. Like,
but it's that cool.
That guy that trained us too was funny. Because you just get the idea that he's adamant about the game. He loves it so much.
He's basically like a Steel Battalion drill sergeant. You know? Like he's there to train you, soldier, on how to play this video game.
Well, I remember he was like your mech fell. Your mech fell in like dirt or something. So when you got up, there was like some dirt on your windshield. And there was a windshield wiper button.
There is.
Yes, on the controller, there's a dedicated windshield wiper button.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe I'm playing this. I told that guy, I was like, this is so cool, man. I've wanted to play this game for years, and I would never get to play it outside of this. I mean, it's just not... You can't even buy that game. It's so rare. They made very few of them. They're so expensive.
How many people are going to buy that?
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly.
It was $200.
Some dude bought 10 of them and brought them to PAX.
The PAX is like the perfect place.
There are probably 10 different people who all donated.
Yeah.
And pretty much everybody playing it was so thrilled to be playing it. Yeah. You know, it was such a great idea.
Because I don't think you're really going to play that game unless you have some interest in it. It's not like you're going to be like, well, look at this confusing shit.
And I think that's really like the real point of PAX is like, it's a really communal, like, show. Like,
it's kind of a place to like share what you like to do.
Everybody's like really friendly, you know, it's all very, you know, people just like will randomly walk up to you and you'll like have a conversation, you know, like it's really, I don't know, it's a very group oriented show.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas I mean I guess at E3, you know, I've never been myself, but it seems like everyone's kind of off working for the most part.
E3 is a professional show. Yeah. You're there to
PAX, like, I mean, definitely, it's for fun.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Very goofy, very, like, casual. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, I started, by the time we found the console free playroom, I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, a really good idea. This is actually totally cool.
Yeah, I wish they had one of those in every city. That would be amazing.
I would just not buy any video games. I'd just go there.
Yeah.
That was awesome. There was so much library there. It would take me a while. I'd be frozen at the selection. I don't even know.
It's the library of the future.
It really is, though. I mean, I could see that.
It really was.
Well, I know. TYP's talked about how, I think, in California, you can rent video games or something.
Yeah, like that's incredible.
Yeah, at his city, you can rent, like, PS3 games at the library. It's pretty wild.
I've worked at a library in high school, and every now and then I'd be like, come on, we should get video games. That'd be fun. And it's been talked about, but I think it's just something that's very hard to introduce.
It's kind of hard to sell for educators,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so the one other thing we did at PAX, you guys tried to go to a concert, I guess that didn't work out.
We ended up getting too hungry.
Yeah, it got delayed, and then we met up with you for food. Right.
But the one other thing we did is, when you go in, when you register, you get a swag bag, and it was pretty worthless, as a bunch of ads and stuff, but it had every bag.
Look at the grin on its face.
Every bag.
So ecstatic.
So every one of these swag bags, and everybody got these,
has
like a 30-card Magic the Gathering booster, like, starter deck, you know, like, real basic cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so now every single person at PAX owns Magic cards.
The first hit is free.
I was like, James Jones, you own Magic cards. Suck it,
bitch. Now I just have to complete my deck, I mean.
So after we went to the exhibit hall and we're kind of bored, it was like, well, what are we going to do? And somebody said, we could just sit around and play our Magic cards that we got for free. And I was like, dude, I can totally teach you how to play Magic. So that's what we did. After we walked around, we kind of got bored down there. This was before we found the console free play rooms.
Which is probably where we'll go all the time now.
Yeah. But it was like, well, let's have a PAX moment. So we went up and found an empty room, just like a secluded, quiet place with a table and chairs. We sat down and spent about an hour, and I walked Carl and John and Mike. Well, Mike's played before. And
it was just the four of us, and then I think you guys came.
That's right.
Yeah, like, we met
about half an hour later.
Right.
Yeah.
So we sat down and played Magic cards, and I taught these guys how to play Magic, which was a total trip.
And I mean, hopefully by now you've all heard that,
right?
Because we did
set
record
the recorder
it.
Up.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to fucking turn out, but...
For giggles.
We'll
for
see.
Shits and giggles.
We'll see.
That, but,
the yeah. Magic Cast.
Yeah, the Radio Free Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I tell the story of how all that happened just in case that maybe that audio never works out or whatever.
Who knows, yeah.
I had to tell that story because it was just... This is such a PAX moment. Because we just
yeah.
found kind of a dark corner and
yeah.
sat down and played our Magic cards. That is so PAX.
And I had the crappiest pull ever from that.
Yeah,
yeah,
but John had a bad draw.
I had a pretty good draw,
Carl
but
did.
I was playing a green deck versus three white decks,
right.
and like, that's not going to work.
It could.
It'd be cool.
We'll have to get more
decks
tomorrow.
But it could totally work.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost did work, actually. But anyway.
Shut it down.
Yeah, Mike won like 19 lives or something
Mike,
like that.
Mike beat us.
We started at 10 life and I ended with 19.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mike was just a life order.
Yeah.
Mike did well. He had a very good draw. And he knows what he's doing, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, we played Magic the Gathering, which I never would have thought we would be doing today after the podcast panel.
That's kind of what PAX is about, though, is kind
yeah.
of exposing yourself
yeah.
to just kind of new stuff.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking tomorrow about, like, jumping into, like, just trying to, like, jump into somebody's game of Settlers of Catan or something.
Okay,
I mean, yeah, I didn't
like,
bring
definitely.
Any stuff like that, but there's a lot. There's a whole game of boardroom.
Yeah, there's
board
the
board
yeah,
tabletop. I already implicitly said that was going to happen at some point. So.
Yeah, I think you can even jump in there. I think people, like, bring Monopoly and stuff.
They've got them all for checkout.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It's got everything.
It's the same
oh,
kind of thing as
in,
like,
console
the console free
there
play.
There you go, yeah. You just sit down and play. You can play Candyland or something.
I mean,
that would be awesome.
after the panel, which,
cast.
I mean, we were talking about this before. Like, the panel is on like another like level. Like, that's,
oh yeah,
that's always that's you know that's not gonna work. That's not gonna
the panel
be
is like
from,
a, that's gonna be something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Once I can remember it,
yeah.
Once all the chemicals flush out of my
yeah.
brain overnight, and I can actually like
remember
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
But like after that though, I think the Magic Cast was pretty.
It was just kind
of
surreal
yeah.
and like spontaneous
yeah,
and
yeah,
hilarious.
Spontaneous.
Like we knew it was funny while
yeah.
we were doing it, but we still did it.
And then
yeah.
James just shat on it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, James came in and trolled.
My job.
It's too bad James
totally
wasn't,
trolled it.
Too bad James wasn't there at the start.
It's what I do.
He wouldn't have done it.
I have zero interest in that.
You would have just gone to the side and mocked us.
Yeah,
pretty much. I would have just left.
Hey, we had fun though.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was fun to watch. Again.
John's been asking me about it ever since, all day.
Mm.
It's the new.
I'm telling you, man, I got to flesh out my deck.
You got Warhammer.
The first hit's free, man.
John,
yeah. Now you're hooked.
Always
is. So yeah, well, anything else you guys want to talk about? What happened today?
I mean. I think Mike and I should talk about our brewery tour.
Oh, yeah.
That was
awesome.
Yeah,
we went to the Sam Adams tour, and it was awesome.
If anyone who's listening to this ever comes to Boston and you're into beer in any sort of way, like, just you like beer a little bit, go to this tour. Like, you go there. It's a small brewery. Like, you know, they own. It's mostly for R&D, and then they make the beer for Boston. Like, it's not like one of the national plants. And you go in, and it's a small place. Like, you know, you're not really going to be doing a lot of walking. There's, like, maybe three actual stops. And then though, they take you to their,
start
like...
Eating you beer.
Yeah, they take you to, like, their internal bar. And you get, like... We got, like, these tasting glasses for free. And they give you the equivalent of, like, two and a half beers.
Maybe three if you're greedy.
Yeah, maybe three. Because, like, really, like, no one's really watching the pictures. You can just keep pouring it. and, like, they were some of the best beers I've had in a while.
Yeah, they were delicious.
Like,
they were super fresh.
Super fresh, because they're coming, like, right from the... Like, we were in the factory.
That always helps.
You know... Like, we started off with just, like, a regular Boston Lager, and that was pretty good. Which is, I mean, you know, we've all had Boston Lager 1,000 times, but it's just very fresh. And then we had the Pilsner, the Noble Pils, I think, right?
Yeah, that was amazing beer.
Which is really, really good. And then we stopped with the Irish Red.
Yeah, that's the one they only have at the factory. You can't get it undrafted anywhere else.
Yeah, you can get it in bottles, I think, in most places, but they don't have a draft anywhere but in that tour.
If you're just joining us, this is the Giant Bombcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk about drinks and taste testing.
Yeah, and like, I don't know.
Learned how to properly taste a beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the whole, like,
they taught you.
The beer appraisal, like the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, did you get the bouquet and the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got plenty of bouquet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get your sideways.
And on the way out, both Mike and I bought, like, specialty bottles. Like, we're not opening them now because I think we want to open them tomorrow when we're all, like, just really hammered.
Yeah.
But,
so you can really appreciate it.
So we can really appreciate it. But, yeah. Like,
I'm hammered on Miller Lite. I'm open up the real good stuff.
No, we bought these, like, $10, like, just, like, really good, nice bottles of beer. They have, like, corks in them and shit. It's going to be good.
So, I think we covered most of the interesting events of today. Mm. I guess I should ask you now, do you want to try to do, like, new business and stuff tonight, or do you want to do it tomorrow night?
We
might have it tomorrow.
We might have all that. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of games lately, but I think I'll wait for tomorrow. Yeah,
all right, tomorrow. You were all a little tuckered today. Yeah. And, I'm sure tomorrow we'll have more stories to tell. But
some of our new business might be from some of the other games on the floor.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. I haven't even really touched what's on the floor.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I think
I played
there's a media hour in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, how about Split Second?
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things
about
it.
It was really great. I loved Pure, so I wasn't that surprised, but I was still kind of surprised how it was.
I played Split Second at E3 last year, and I thought it was great. So, I mean, it should be.
It's practically a year older now.
I thought it was
coming out in May,
out
I think.
By now, but.
Yeah, it was at May.
I played Joe Danger, that PSN game.
Joe Danger? And how's Frobot?
Frobot was shit.
That's a WiiWare game that is apparently just like Zelda.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking
about. Yes, Frobot was basically, you're invincible after you die, so you just spawn camp and kill the person who killed you.
That's
so basically,
awful.
It's just whoever was the
first. And that's just like Zelda, I guess.
They compared it between Wii Plays Tanks and Zelda, which, the comparison to Wii Plays Tanks is...
It's still bad.
I'm not saying it's good. We played Tanks. I thought was fun. This was not fun. But the concept is similar.
There's your comparison. One is fun and one isn't.
One is fun. One is not so.
It's
fun.
Awful.
They didn't say it was a positive comparison.
Bitsharp Runner is there. I hope to play that.
Oh yeah. I need to play that. And I need to find Runner's best games.
Yeah, that's it's over like the corner by where Split Second is.
Okay. We saw someone playing Prince of Persia. We didn't want to stand in the line, but like,
yeah,
they made him look a little bit like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Oh, the character.
Yeah.
It seems. I mean, just from watching it, it reminds me of the Prince of Persia
Sands
08
of Time.
And Sands of Time.
Yeah.
But the 08, at least, I guess, more of the graphical styling, although not entirely.
Yeah.
It's probably the same engine, I imagine.
Oh, probably. Like, I don't know. It seemed pretty all right. Like, I'll be interested to play it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think
this will. I'll probably be interested in it. Regardless, I don't think this is going to make or break.
No, I mean, it's on my Gamefly queue. Like, I'm going to play it regardless.
Yeah.
Today, I think, has been a really, like, just a fucking packed day. Like,
we've
done so much stuff, but, like, tomorrow's when...
I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah, like, you know, I think we're all still a little bit overtired. But, you know, tomorrow's going to be a good day, though.
We'll do it all over again.
It's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be more packed, because they sold out all 3 days.
It'll be equally packed.
It'll be equally packed, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we talk about some, like, the people that we saw? Like, in our panel, there was a Chun-Li.
Yeah.
And I later saw that Chun-Li. She's, like, doing pictures.
Oh, yeah.
We saw the Tingle Twins.
Yeah. Short little girls dressed as Tingle.
I saw them getting interviewed by G4.
They were being interviewed by G4, which is strange.
Which is weird, because if a girl dresses up like Tingle, I just really question if she understands the joke.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, they were cute.
Whatever.
Really?
They had that weird...
Their costumes were cute.
I think it was a witch from Left 4 Dead, but it looked like just like a dirty girl.
No,
Did you see Bayonetta?
No.
The Bayonetta? Oh my god.
The Bayonetta girl was awesome.
Bayonetta
she
was
like 10
feet
tall.
I thought she was going to fall down.
There was a girl in a dirty pair of underwear and a ripped tank top.
I saw
covered
that.
Covered in dirt.
I think it was a witch.
You missed it?
Left 4 Dead. I'm not sure.
If you just ever heard, like,
there were a couple, like, tech
and
cosplayers near
that
car.
Yeah. I didn't see that much cosplay. Definitely people dressed oddly.
I think I saw someone as Miles Edgeworth.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. The person with the big poofy thing on his neck.
I saw
that was awesome. I was like, I knew it. I was like, it's Miles Edgeworth.
I also saw the guy, what's his name, from Guilty Gear has the paper bag on his head.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I saw it.
All scalpel.
There was someone with
sugar
with a big ass Professor Layton hat.
Oh, yeah, I saw Professor Layton too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really expecting Pax to have too many, like, dress up kind of things. It's not really the.
It's Comic Con. I mean,
this is Comic Con for video games.
I guess so.
There you go.
I don't know. There should be more than that.
It's getting there. It gets bigger every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can we talk about, like, the convention center in general though? Like, I think aside from the exhibition hall, it was really it's really
cool. Yeah.
I think the exhibition hall has issues.
Yeah.
Like, it's not big enough. It's just. You go in there and it just feels like it's poorly lit. Like, you feel like you're walking into a garage.
Yeah.
I know I was walking in there and someone asked me, like, oh, what was at the Microsoft booth?
I walked past it. I had no idea what it was because it was like so much around me. So little space.
It has three floors. It's really annoying. Like when you first come in, it's completely disorienting because you're like, am I on the second floor? Because you have no idea what floor you're on.
It's built into a hill,
yeah.
I mean, really, by comparison, E3 is actually pretty easy to
find. Yeah, because E3 is just like two giant buildings.
With a hallway in between.
Yeah, so. And then there's the second floor for the meeting rooms and stuff.
Right.
But aside from that, though, I think like the panel rooms, like the theaters and stuff, were really good.
The theater that we did our panel in was beautiful. Yeah,
and I think that's one of the smallest theaters there too.
It was the second smallest.
Oh, okay.
Is
the Naga the smallest?
Naga's the smallest. Okay. Naga's the bitch room. We didn't get the bitch room.
Good. I mean, we're
at the bitch slot.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we got the bitch room.
I thought the room was really nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically everything but the exhibition hall I thought was really, really good.
Yeah.
That pretty much closes it out, I suppose.
Cool. Yeah. Anybody got anything else they want to say about today?
Nintendo booth sucks.
It really does.
It's terrible.
Awful shit. Terrible. And Sony's not here at all.
No, they don't have any booth. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and they had a party for the move that I think none of us were really here for. But
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but like, I thought it was like when I heard about it, I was like, oh, I'll just play it tomorrow. And then I was looking at it. Sony's nowhere to be.
They're not sponsoring at all. It's kind of ridiculous.
I don't even really want to play the move.
It's more out of curiosity than anything else.
You want to check it out? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not interested on ever buying it unless they come out with something amazing, which I doubt they will.
Yeah.
I'd just be curious to play SOCOM with it. That's about it. I'm serious when I say that. I like SOCOM.
Yeah. But as far as like the first day of PAX, I think it went as good as it could go.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And we discovered the true meaning of PAX.
Yeah, and I mean,
like the meaning of Christmas.
Capped off with a really great restaurant.
Yeah, that's how much
I was. You know, we had some really good food.
The end of restaurant week.
Totally.
I
was shocked that you put all that food away, Lindy. Like,
yeah, man.
Well, he ate a lobster. He wrestled one to the ground and ate it.
It was a lot of shell.
Like, well, but still, dude. Like, there was a huge ass piece of corn. Like,
yeah, I did eat the heck out of corn.
Like, all right. Like,
you fucking buzzed off that corn.
It was like a cartoon. I was like,
yeah.
And like, what's it called? I don't know, Mike. I know you had like the dessert.
The Boston cream pie was awesome.
Yeah, and
the chocolate cream pie was also good.
Yeah, and Johnny, you had the Indian bread pie.
Yeah, I split.
Bread pudding.
Oh, sorry. I'm fucking dead.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
We had also the Indian pudding.
I had the cold apple pie.
Yeah, again,
we're on the podcast, of course. All right, so I guess
talking
we should probably
food now.
Yeah, let's kill it.
We should probably kill it from here.
Man, we're those sugar-free Red Bulls. Hockey salt. Hockey pulver. So, thanks for listening, and next time you hear us,
it'll be way more interesting because we'll be way more drunk.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Prohibition.
Oh, and I have a couple surprises in store that even these guys don't know about.
Oh, God.
Just keep your clothes on.
Can you, like, not have anyone jumping out of a closet?
Or out of a cage?
I don't deal with that.
And scene.
You get in trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special midnight.